Welcome to another special episode of Atlanta's only pro-business radio talk show. Broadcasting live from the heart of Buckhead inside the Business Radio X studios.
Welcome to Franchise Business Radio Show. I'm really excited about this show. As you know, the purpose of the show is to bring franchise professionals together to be able to connect, educate, and collaborate. And for those of you that are listening, we have got a great studio of guests and franchise professionals. We're going to be getting on topics such as development, funding, legal, accounting systems. So a lot of great resources here in the studio. And I would like to kick it off with my producer here before we jump off. Rich.
I'm telling you, if I was in the franchise business and listening to these guys and looking at their profiles, I might jump into the pool here. I mean, these are the pros right here. This is going to be a great show.
You're going to be a professional after listening to all of this.
I know, exactly. And it's all free, right? Yeah.
That's right.
So I'm going to be taking notes. So yeah, let's just brief bio of our host here this morning. Pam Curie is the host of Franchise Business Radio. You just heard from her. The founder of Franchise Intellect. Over 20 years in franchising and traditional corporate America, you've acquired business acumen from multiple perspectives of the franchise business model. Pamela enjoys helping individuals considering franchise ownership, and she consults on training programs and franchise recruitment when you're not vacationing in California, which you just came back from, or you're not, we're in South
Charleston.
Carolina, Charleston.
Yes, yeah. I'm always beach bound,
yeah,
right?
Nice, yeah.
It's always a working vacation, though.
Yeah. So so let's say hi to our guest here in just a moment, but tell us a bit about you kind of set the stage for the show or who's in the studio, but tell us a little bit of the backstory of the show concept.
Yeah, actually, how Franchise Business Radio kind of got developed was really just obviously initially in conversation. And what you uncover in the franchise industry is that there's so many different parties that are involved in the franchise world. And it can be very confusing, not only to the franchise community and industry experts, but to potential franchise consumers and those considering franchising. So the idea came from, let's go ahead and create a platform that's going to allow franchise professionals as well as franchise resources come together to be able to connect, educate, and collaborate to be able to serve the franchise community as well as the franchise consumer.
And for local folks listening here in Atlanta as well as all over the country, and because we're live streaming on the internet, tell us about, there's the International Franchise Association. Is that the group?
Or yep, the International Franchise Association. They are the world's largest and oldest organization representing franchising worldwide. As you know, we also have had several guests from the Southeast Franchise Forum, which is a chapter of the IFA.
Yeah, Jim Squire and
a
bunch of folks. Yeah.
And, you know, since we're on that topic, and then we'll go ahead and dive in with our guest here, there is a new training program that's being rolled out to Georgia State University. You may have remembered on our last show,
we
had Mike Ween. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
And that's just getting ready to get launched. Very exciting.
Well, we'll definitely share that in the announcement sections at the end. So let's go ahead and just welcome each guest real briefly and find out what they'll be chatting about.
Wonderful. Just want to go around the studio here. One of our guests we have is John Krotochki. And I have to say that name because it took me a long time to learn to say it. But John, please introduce yourself and let us know your specialty.
Oh, hi. I appreciate the warm introduction and the opportunity to share this platform with these other professionals. Like you said, my name is John Krotochki. I'm a CPA in the Atlanta area that works with franchisors and franchisees across the country. What we do is we design, implement, and maintain bookkeeping and accounting systems for franchisors and franchisees. What we would like to do is develop a system for a franchisor and then become a preferred vendor for their franchisees, especially the multi-unit operators.
Right. Welcome. And also known as John Q.
Yeah. I love that. John Q. CPA.
Yeah. I've been called that occasionally. Yes.
And other things, right?
No doubt.
Henry, welcome.
Thank you, Pam. I'm Henry Turner, and I'm an attorney located here in Atlanta. And part of my practice involves franchise law. And prior to becoming an attorney 25 years ago, I was a banker and used to do franchisee financing.
Mm.
So it was logical once I started practicing law to move into the franchise law firm. And we work mainly with franchisees.
Okay.
Okay. And that's the area that I'll be addressing today, Pam.
Yes, we're going to get deep into that. Thank you. Welcome, Henry. Thomas.
Thank you for having me on the show. Thomas Rockwood, I'm a lender with Brand Bank here locally in Atlanta. And what I do is I provide basically loans to businesses and franchises that are trying to grow and expand, either acquire another business and those sorts of things. So as it relates to franchises, I specifically do SBA lending, and I'll be talking a lot about that and how franchisees can obtain that kind of capital.
Yeah, SBA, we hear a lot about it, but what does it really mean? We're going to dive into those details. And Lauren, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Definitely.
I am here talking about franchise development today. I've spent the last better part of a year since I left my role as the General Counsel of Focus Brands, helping brands, mostly in the restaurant and hospitality space, grow their franchise programs. And recently, I'm proud to announce that I'm a partner in a new development fund here in Atlanta called Origin Development Group, and we are a multi-unit franchisee. So we are yet in another way helping brands in the restaurant space grow their businesses, and I'm really excited to talk about that today.
Absolutely. And let's go ahead and start off with that, because what's so interesting is we've really got a lot of crossover and backgrounds here. You have a very interesting career. You have a legal background.
I do.
So how did you get into franchising?
That is a great question. I think the easiest way to explain it would be I'm a marketer at heart. I've always loved brands and had a degree in marketing before I even came up to go to law school at Emory University. So when I started at Emory, one of the things I was immediately attracted to was their intellectual property program, and they had a product commercialization track as well that I was really fortunate to be a part of. And so early in my legal career, I focused quite a bit on brand management, licensing, product commercialization, and development. And in fact, the first in-house role I had was with a Novartis subsidiary called CibaVision and did one of their major product launches there. So it was in that vein that I think I have always naturally maybe gravitated towards this role in franchising, which I love, because I've been involved in brand management and licensing and product development. And that's how I ended up at Focus. Focus was developing a licensing program and needed help with their legal department and their franchise department. And I really thought to myself, well, this is a really interesting fit for my entrepreneurial background. And if I'm going to go anywhere, I want to learn from the best. And Focus Management at the time that I was recruited there was just an extraordinary cast and crew of industry executives and just top-notch professionals. I thought, well, if I'm going to learn this, I need to learn from the best.
Absolutely.
So I had a really wonderful run there. I left the company in October. And after that, just started really thinking about what was next.
So, I mean, how did you identify what is next? I mean, when I think about giving advice to our listeners and choosing that career path, especially when that's going to lead to an entrepreneurship, career, we're going outside traditional corporate America and really taking on that true, what I call pure entrepreneur path. Talk to us about that.
Well, isn't that one of the greatest things about franchising, right? It is a vehicle for people to really become their own boss, to become an entrepreneur, and in a fashion that really mitigates risk for them by giving them some guide rails for which they can start their own business. And that's one of the things I love about this industry. I think it feeds into my entrepreneurial spirit. So it's really no shock to anyone who knows me that I'm doing this now and doing more on the franchisee side development and operating. And I think one of the pieces of advice that I got actually from a mentor last year was, well, why aren't you doing it? Right? You are so passionate about franchising. How come you don't own a franchise? And I kind of sat back in my chair and I thought, well, why don't I have a franchise? Do you have a suggestion? Please do tell. So I started doing some due diligence on my own and thinking about what it would be to be a small business owner, to get an SBA loan, to get certified as a minority owned business, and to really think about taking all of the things I had learned about franchising, being on the franchisor side, and really putting myself in the shoes of the people that make this industry fantastic and run businesses day in and day out that are franchised. So the really key piece of advice that I got was, you know, I have an Emory law degree and an MBA, and somebody said to me, maybe you should stop worrying about what the next logical career path is for you according to everybody else and what goes on your LinkedIn profile, and start thinking about what actually makes you happy, excited, and passionate, and then leverages your talent. And when I sat back and thought about that, in my entire career, it's been helping people grow their businesses. It's been helping people get their products to market or start a business or license a product. And when I thought about what the natural fit for that was, it was me just being able to do that for as many people as possible, which is how I started my consulting practice, the Fernandez Company. And then later led to this really amazing group that we have now formed called the Origin Development Group, where I'm essentially consulting for us, and we're opening as many restaurants as we can as quickly as possible using that experience that I have. So
you've really hit on something interesting here, and that is entrepreneurship and franchising, because there really is an overlap, but they are two different paths in a lot of ways. You know, you have what I call the pure entrepreneur, which is what I view you, the path you going down. And then you have what I like to refer as the franchisepreneur, which is that crossover, right, of the entrepreneur, but a franchise owner who's given the opportunity to license a proven system and a brand and hopefully minimize the risk from that pure entrepreneurship.
So, right. I mean, isn't that exactly the heart of franchising? Is we're creating systems across so many different areas of expertise, whether it's food and restaurants or services or products, that allow people to take their natural inclination, their passion and their background and their experience and plug it into a system that hopefully speaks to them in the same way that what I'm doing now really speaks to my passion. And it's easy when I get up every morning to be really excited about what I'm doing. And I think that's what makes franchising such a powerful industry, is it's always about the individual. And so in thinking about why I love what I do and have really enjoyed working in this space, it's because I love people. I love figuring out what makes people tick. And really, franchising offers so many different opportunities for people to take that plunge into being an entrepreneur. And dare I say it, even though some people would say that the dream is dead, I think living the American dream. I'm the daughter of an immigrant to this country, and the opportunities that have been afforded to my family are because we live in a free country and because we do celebrate and reward entrepreneurship. So I can't think of a better industry to work in for me personally and professionally. I think, you know, to all entrepreneurs out there, including those who are, you know, immigrants to this country, minorities, females, especially where you might have been at a disadvantage many years ago, and this industry and franchising provides an incredible opportunity for you to be able to launch a really solid, not just career, but a life for yourself in this country. And that's something that I will always be grateful for. And when I wave my franchising flag, I'm very, very proud to be a part of this industry because of that.
Absolutely. And I feel your passion. and I think that, Origin Development Group, obviously is going to be such a huge contributor to the development of the franchise industry. So tell us a little bit more about Origin.
It's really exciting. So it's a great story too about people who just are drawn to franchising. And, you know, I think one of the most amazing things about this industry, too, is how collaborative and collegial it is. I mean, this is a perfect example this morning of us all getting together in a room and talking about all the different ways that we contribute to the industry. But I was at a dinner and someone asked me what I did. And I had no idea who this person was. And he was sitting down next to me. His name's Darren DeVore. He's our one of our founding partners and our financial investor in this. And he said, "Tell me what you do." And I said, "I help franchise businesses grow." Right? Big statement.
Absolutely.
And so we started talking a little bit and we talked a little more. And as it turned out, remember how I said I was looking at purchasing a franchise for myself? He and I had been sourcing the same franchise. So he was my accidental local competition. And so we started talking and we really got down into some nuts and bolts, and we decided we should have lunch. And then lunch became two lunches and then coffee and more and more and more we talked. And he said, "So tell me why you're not doing this right now." And I said, "Well, you know, I can just do one, and then I figure I can leverage and do two, and I have this financial model and I can show you, you know." And, you know, I kind of laugh about it now because the man has incredible financial acumen. I think his reputation speaks for itself, and he's made quite a career in the financial space. And when he looked at that and I showed him the numbers and I put my belief behind it and told him why I thought it was a great model for growing as a multi-unit franchisee, he really became intrigued. So we put together a much larger business model that was backed by a private fund. And that is the origin of Origin Development Group. And so here we are, we're in our fifth week. I'm really proud to say that we've got a couple deals in the pipeline that hopefully we'll be able to announce very soon.
Absolutely.
And we're really thrilled to grow. But what Origin does is we're a strategic partner We are a multi-unit franchisee, although we do make investments in early stage and emerging brands too. As the franchisor, we do help franchisors develop their franchise programs as well. But we really view ourselves, and it's not just a capital investment that we're looking to make to help these franchise groups grow, whether they're in the restaurant space or otherwise. It's really about our team and the team that we've built through our vendors and our network of employees and my expertise, and really making that growth sustainable and quality. And when we do that, we look at three different types of deals, right? So I mentioned one, which is that emerging brand, where we can come in and really add a lot of value, either through a capital injection, through our expertise in helping set up or administer a franchise program. And sometimes we become the master franchisee in those situations, but that's really exciting, right? To be able to get on the very early sides of some brands that maybe don't have the expertise to grow rapidly, but we do. Mm-hmm. So we can come in and really help them come up with a strategic plan, not just to support them financially, but to meet their goals for what quality growth looks like for the company. You know, we do traditional deals also. We do what most of us would know in the industry is territory development deals or multi-unit deals. And we also do strategic acquisitions. So that's the third type of deal that we do. We will go in and perhaps buy out someone else who's acquired territory rights or who's developed a couple units, maybe 3, 4, 5. And they're getting to that point where the infrastructure is really necessary to run the backside of multi-unit franchisees. We already have that in place. So we can come in, take over operations, and continue to grow under those, sometimes as a strategic partner for them and leave them in the deal, or sometimes we just take over. So it's a really neat concept. And we're finding out very quickly as we're talking to folks that there's a lot of people that you can get to help, you know, get a loan for your business to help grow. There's a lot of capital out there right now. We're very fortunate in this economy that there's a lot of room to be able to fund your growth. But what makes Origin Development Group different is the amazing management team that we've built out there and the infrastructure behind it administratively to be able to operate multiple units. We're very proud of that.
Absolutely. A lot of talent. You know, I frequently say really what franchising is it's simply a growth strategy. Mm-hmm. Using the money as well as the talent of others, and you're able to come in and help infuse and help on both sides.
You know,
and
Pam,
it's wonderful.
You know, one of the things that we were talking about earlier is, you know, what makes people passionate, what really excites them. And a lot of times, I'm sure you've experienced this too, when you're trying to find a good fit for someone, what kind of franchise they should buy, you always want to know the why. You mm-hmm. want to know their why. And when we talk to folks, when I sit down and I talk to people, they're like, oh, well, we want a franchise or we want to grow. I always ask the why question.
Sure.
And you want to know what their end game is too. What's your goal? Would you like to retire to Tahiti? Or do you want to operate 10 units yourself? You know, and it's always an interesting thing. And I find that at the heart of franchising, there's always that why question about what makes people passionate. Because let's face it, I think everyone who's in franchising is really passionate about it on some level, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's fun to get up and, be investing in yourself and your business.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So how can someone find out more about what you do with Origin or about franchising in general?
Well, you could visit our website, origindevelopmentgroup.com. You can always find me. I am happy to talk to people about what we do. I mean, that's part of what I love doing is I get to get out there and meet people. Actually, there's a really great event, Women's Franchising Network, which I am a part of, is having the first Wednesday of every month we get together at JCT Kitchen right over on Howell Mill Road. And we have cocktails from 5 to 6. And then we go volunteer at the Atlanta Community Food Bank, where I am a member of the board there. But we also make that part of our mission. And what we do is it's a really informal group of people getting together to support not just women, but women in franchising and franchising generally. So people not unlike who's here today on the radio show. And we just get to kind of hang out and talk to each other and figure out how we can help each other in this industry. So if you wanted to find out more about Origin, you could meet me at our next Wednesday volunteer event. It's the first Wednesday of every month.
Person. And I've been to one of those events.
You have.
Excellent.
Yes.
Excellent. Do you happen to, and I don't want to put you on the spot, do you know, you have an event coming up and I can't remember the exact date. I remember you sharing it with me.
I believe it is. Is it next? I'm getting the exact date. Boop, boop, boop. It's next Wednesday, September 2nd.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And that is available on my website. If you visit thefernandezcompany.com, I do regularly post those dates and other food and restaurant related events on that site. So that's always someplace you could go to find that
great
information.
Great resource. And for our listeners, I'm just going to have you repeat.
Sure.
What is the best way to contact you, your website, and if you're willing, your phone number?
Sure. No, absolutely. You can always reach me. I'm just going to put it out there. My direct dial at Origin is 404-991-6642. And you can always reach me at that email address. It's just lauren@origindevgroup.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. So happy to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to be moving to our next guest, Thomas. And Rich, he has a great background. We've been talking about funding as being a very important aspect of franchising. But tell us a little bit about Thomas.
Yeah, absolutely, Pam. Pleasure, too. And just wanted to announce to our listeners and to our guests. Well, I'll just kind of mention a few things about your bio, and then we'll post the entire bio on the website. Is that good? Yes or yes?
Yes.
Sure. Sounds good.
All right. So, and Thomas, feel free to elaborate or continue the conversation regarding points on your bio here. But obviously, you're currently a business development officer at Brand Bank's government guaranteed lending division right here in Buckhead.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where in Buckhead are you guys located?
Piedmont and Peachtree, right where those two intersect.
Okay.
Is one of our offices right
okay,
there.
Okay. Nice. We can almost throw a cup of coffee from here to there. All right. And so with over 10 years in, as a banking executive in government guaranteed financing solutions, helping folks, businesses thrive, grow and expand. Got to love that. Right. And you've also been your focus is in providing SBA loans.
Absolutely. So Small Business Administration lending.
Wow. We should maybe have you back on another show because we've had the regional Cassius Butts in here for $9 billion in funding for the SBA. And then the second in command from the entire SBA flew in one time from the White House. But that's another bio. That's not on this script here. So tell us a little bit more about it. It mentions foreign countries right here or you work with veteran-owned groups as well, or
so veterans that are seeking capital to start their businesses, franchisees that are looking to seek capital to start their businesses or fund their businesses, existing businesses, startups. It's a wide variety that we focus and we lend on. The SBA or the Small Business Administration provides kind of a template that says, okay, if you're an eligible business, we can provide these kinds of help banks provide these loans to business owners or existing businesses that want to obtain capital.
And there's also apparently incentives for folks implementing green environmentally friendly strategies.
Yeah. There's unique programs that the SBA puts in place to help business owners obtain capital. And one of them is green energy efficiency financing for, say, real estate. You're trying to expand to the next building. You're trying to grow your business into another location. If you start to kind of reduce your footprint on the environment, then there's additional funds that are available to those owners and those businesses.
All right.
And that that just kind of leads into it. It's amazing what all is out there in regards to financing options for individuals who are considering franchise ownership. And you've touched on several of them already. Any other ones to add there? I know that there are several different financing options.
Well, there's different programs, and I would say the SBA provides kind of a big broad brush of financing, right? But if you're an exporter and you're exporting to foreign countries, there's programs for that. If you're a minority-owned business or a women-owned business or a veteran business, there's programs that obtain funding. And it's just basically more ways for banks to say yes and provide that basically that incentive to say yes to more businesses more often.
And what are some of the typical terms for financing? What should borrowers expect with SBA loans?
Yeah, when I look at franchisees that come to me and say, hey, Thomas, we're trying to acquire this franchise. It's an existing franchise location, or we're trying to grow and expand. We want to add another one. Or it might be somebody that says, hey, I'm interested in starting a franchise. I've never owned one before. I've worked in this industry, but I'd like to actually own my own business. Business acquisitions are typically structured with SBA loans, and I would say most of them are over a 10-year term. So, if a borrower has or an owner has cash to inject into the project and they're looking for funding to cover that gap in that total price, that would probably be put over about a 10-year period of time where the business would cash flow and operational income would kind of pay back that loan over that period of time.
So if, if I were looking at an SBA loan, what are the requirements I would need to obtain that loan for a startup franchise business?
Typically, it's somebody who has industry experience. You kind of say, okay, you're going to go out and you're going to do this. You should be in that, or at least have some sort of managerial experience in that industry, whether it's a whatever that franchise may be doing. Right? You want to have kind of your industry experience and leverage that to be successful. So it's always the first thing I always look at is management resume. What's your background? What's your key personnel look like? The next is really saying, okay, what location are you looking at? The franchise itself provides a lot of kind of financial structure to say, okay, here's how many locations we've opened up last year. Here's how well they performed, and those sorts of details. And so, you know, you're looking at those moving parts to say, okay, is this the right location, the right fit? And then, you know, I'm always looking at trying to say, okay, what do you as the owner have skin in the game, right? So do you have any capital to inject into it yourself? And what is the amount that I'd be kind of funding from the shortfall perspective?
Okay, so that you hit on something kind of interesting to me, because very often franchising, as an individual, I might not have specific industry, let's say, in senior care. Does it help that the franchisor themselves has that experience, that they're able to pass along to me as that prospective franchisee?
Yes, there's a lot of, I guess, tools and support mechanisms that a franchisor provides a franchisee. And that's the key piece. And that's going to mm-hmm. differ between each franchise that you're looking at. What I would like to see, I guess, from an owner is saying, okay, have you ever done anything in this industry? You know, what experience do you have in this industry? And really, at the end of the day, the business owner is running the business from the profit standpoint, and can they generate the income to pay the loan back? I mean, that's the first question that I look at, saying, okay, you know, what is the likelihood of you being successful? You know, when I look at a business, I say, I'm the best business partner you have. I'm the person providing, you know, the financing behind your piece, right? So we're in this together, and I want to make sure, since you're running the day-to-day operations, that we're going to be successful.
Makes sense. Definitely makes sense. So are there any specific requirements the SBA has for the franchise businesses themselves?
Yeah, I would say the most, there's a lot of different areas, but it's going to be eligible if you're trying to acquire a location or you're trying to expand on the location and you're an operating business. I think Lauren's background is a lot on territory development agreements as well. And that's sometimes where someone would want to purchase an entire development. Over the next 10 years, we're going to expand and put in 10 different locations. Those kind of master development agreements, the SBA is deemed probably not eligible. Mm-hmm. We'd have to look at it on a case-by-case basis. But basically, if a franchise owner is looking to start a location and obtain financing for that location, and it's going to be up and running, and the operations of that location are what's going to pay the loan back, chances are we're eligible and we're moving forward in the right direction.
That makes sense. So you want them involved directly, almost more as an operator of the business. So what is the process for obtaining an SBA loan? What are the steps?
Yeah, the first step is to, I guess, have a conversation with the franchise that you're looking at starting. The key piece there is they need to approve the owner first and foremost to say, yes, we're in agreement. This is a good fit for you. The franchisor says, okay, yep, we're heading in the right direction. I'd say that's step one is you need to be approved by the franchise itself to actually start a location, and then kind of go down that path of which location. Once you have most of the specifics in place, then I'd say it's time to approach a banker and say, okay, is this a type of business that you'd be interested in funding? There's two different sides to the funding pool. I kind of like to oversimplify it probably, but you have SBA regulation, and if it's eligible, that's great. But then you have bank appetite. And so banks really can say yes or no if it's their wheelhouse, if it's their industry. Some people, you know, some banks say, no, we have a very niche focus from an industry lending perspective. So it's really a matter of if you get turned down by one bank, it's not necessarily that you're going to be turned down by all banks. It's going to say it could be an appetite question.
Ah, really great point there. Are there any other things that normally catch owners of businesses off guard when seeking the SBA loan?
Yeah, you know, every SBA loan, I kind of look for the same things, and I think a lot of times there's the pushback I get a lot are around, I would say, unlimited guarantees. As the business owner, you're going to be personally guaranteeing the loan as well as the business operations, and that's a requirement for any business owner that has 20% or more in that business. They will be looking for that. An unlimited guarantee. So if you're requesting a $500,000 loan, you're and you and any business owner that owns 20% of that business is going to have to guarantee those funds. The other piece is, I'd say, the collateral concept or the collateral conversation. A lot of franchises, if you're going in the leasing space, you're putting in specialty equipment. There's not sufficient collateral within the business. And so a lot of times guarantors or the owners are going to have to put personal collateral up to kind of back that loan. And that's SOP. It's a regulation from the SBA. So depending on what kind of personal assets you have, you're going to be asked to pledge those. And that takes business owners back a little bit, saying, my house is on the line all of a sudden, or wow, you're going to take a lien on these sorts of things. So yeah, it's one of the things that, you know, when the bank looks at that and you're really saying, taxpayers, will you please back my business dream? From an entrepreneurial perspective, it's prudent lending. And I say that's what guides most of our decisions is this a prudent decision? But I would say those are the big pieces, the unlimited guarantee of anybody that owns 20% or more of the business. And then if there's not collateral within the business, personal assets, if it's available, will be requested to be taken.
So that's a lot of information to take in. And I'm going to share with our listeners. That's why we have experts in this space to help you weed through all of these details. But before we get into how to best reach you, if anyone is considering an SBA loan and needs some assistance there, what kind of timeline would a borrower expect when seeking these funds?
You know, I would say the average SBA loan request, once the borrower has submitted a full package, which can be a little bit cumbersome, years of tax returns, complete application, I'd say most banks are in that 45 to 60 days from full package to the time that we're actually funding. And the other piece of that is how far along are you in your development conversations and signing your lease contracts and or purchasing the real estate? So depending on how much is involved, I would say somewhere between maybe 60 to 90 days would be the average. A very simplified deal might go through in about 45 days, but it takes a couple, 2 to 3 months probably, from the time that you've requested the funds to get it in place.
And to help streamline that timeline, certain franchisors actually are already pre-approved, or how would you explain that? Do you think that helps with the timeline?
Yeah, absolutely. If a franchisor has not gone through the process of being or submitting their document, the franchise disclosure document, to the SBA, then that takes probably, I'd say, a good week or so for the SBA to review that. So depending on how backed up they are. But if a franchisor is already in the system and the SBA has looked at their development agreement or the disclosure documents, then I'd say it's probably shaving off about a week of time.
Yeah. Okay. So to help our future franchipreneurs out there, how would they go about seeking out your help?
Absolutely. They can email me, you can call me, reach out to me directly. I'd be happy to provide a first look or have a conversation around how to help you get funding. And there's also our bank's website, which you're more than welcome to go out there and reach out to us that way. But my phone number in my office is 678-985-6860. And my email address is trockwood@thebrandbank.com. And then our website is thebrandbank.com.
Wonderful. Thank you. Wow. A lot of great information.
Thank you.
Appreciate you being on the show. We have our next guest with a lot of deep knowledge. Boy, we're hitting on so many great topics here. And, as you heard from our introductions, Henry has a great background in franchise law. And we're going to really dive into what should a prospective franchisee take into consideration. But before we do that, Rich, would you give me a little bit of backdrop on Henry?
Yeah, absolutely. So Henry Turner has a law practice in Decatur, Georgia, is Juris Doctorate from Georgia State University College of Law, recognized as a best oralist and honored with the Board of Trial Advocates Award as Outstanding Student Litigator. You also hold an MBA with a concentration on finance. Throughout your career, you've established professional affiliations with the State Bar of Georgia, Georgia Trial Lawyers Association, and many others. You've also is admitted to practice in the Supreme Court of Georgia, the Georgia Court of Appeals, the U.S. Court of Appeals, Judy's Court or no? But and then
that's
finally
an accomplished resume.
I'm telling you, I just feel smarter reading this. Yeah. And finally, your primary area of practice, in addition to security and banking law, is franchise law. So I think what a great guest for the show. Yes or yes?
Yes and yes, absolutely. Right. A wealth of knowledge. And I just have to, and you, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but I was speaking with someone in franchise law, and they told me that there really are only a couple of hundred franchise law specialists that are out there in the United States. And what makes, in your opinion, what makes franchise law so specialized and unique?
That's an excellent question, Pam. And particularly when you're looking at it as we are today from a franchisee's standpoint. And start with the fact, as everyone at this participating here knows, there are many franchise opportunities out there, which is a good thing. Mm-hmm. And they can range from $100,000 total investment to $1 million plus mm-hmm. total investment. And that's not even if you're looking at a master franchise agreement or something like that. The main controlling authority that we deal with here in Georgia, and that's what I'm going to address it from, is the Federal Trade Commission's franchise rule, the FTC rule. Some states have a separate mini FTC rule, okay? We don't in Georgia. So the FTC rule is the major controlling authority that Georgia potential franchisees will be dealing with when they're looking at a franchise. Doesn't matter if it's a McDonald's or a small franchisor. The FTC rule kicks in on the front end in particular. And what it does, it requires, mandates, that prior to a prospective franchisee signing the franchise agreement or paying any money, the earlier of which, they have to be furnished with what is known as a franchise disclosure document, which is a fairly lengthy document.
Oh, yes.
It's about primarily disclosure. Disclosure of varying aspects of the franchise that the franchisee is looking at purchasing. Okay. It is very, very important that the franchisee study and prospective franchisee study and understand that document. All right. And unfortunately, we have found over time that in a number of cases, particularly with the smaller franchisees, they don't take enough time understanding that document. Mm-hmm. Then you have the next area of the law, which is the franchise agreement itself. Again, our experience has been that unfortunately, many franchisees, particularly smaller franchisees, focus in on the business aspects of the franchise. That's important. That's
absolutely
vital.
Mm-hmm.
But in a number of cases, they will not get a competent franchise lawyer involved on the front end, and they end up signing franchise agreements and don't really understand what they've gotten themselves into.
Mm-hmm. To your point, you've got the business side, but there's a legal side as well.
Yes, and every franchisee, I don't care whether you're buying a McDonald's franchise or some of the smaller franchises that are out there, should make the investment on the front end to get a competent franchise law attorney to help them with both the FTC disclosures and understanding what those are and the contract agreement and understanding what the provisions are in that and how they apply. Now, something very important. I said we in Georgia do not have a mini FTC statute. And the FTC rule does not provide for a private cause of action. In other words, the franchisee, if he finds out that's been violated, can't take legal action about it.
Okay.
All right. However, the Georgia Court of Appeals rendered an opinion a little over a year ago called Legacy Academy. That was a daycare franchisor, and ruled that we have another statute here in Georgia that basically says if there is something like the FTC rule and it doesn't provide for a private cause of action, our Georgia statute will. Mm-hmm. And that was brought and upheld by the Court of Appeals, and in fact, that is now good law. So we in Georgia, while franchisees in Georgia, while they're not protected by a mini franchise statute, do in many cases have a legitimate cause of action under the FTC rule. And that's why it's important on the front end to understand what is being disclosed.
So what legal services do you offer? So if I were a prospective franchisee, I was, you know, before I signed off on that franchise agreement, I would turn to you, and what would you do for me?
What I would do, or my colleagues that practice this area of the law, one of the first things we do is look at the FTC disclosure document that you've been given. And it has all these disclosures in it. So, for example, disclosure 21, for instance, is financial information, mm-hmm. like projected pro formas and so forth. Now, under the FTC rule, the franchisor is not required to give that. It's optional. It's optional. What many franchisors will do, particularly with the smaller franchises, is they will say, well, let me give you the names of a couple of our other franchisees and you go talk to them. Now, typically the franchisor is going to have far more information than some independent franchisees would have. So one of the things we do if we see something like that, we go back and negotiate on behalf of the client and say, look, help us at least. You've got much more information than individual franchisees. Help give us some information where pro formas can be built. And that's where you get the overlap with what Thomas is doing over here from mm-hmm. that end. Mm-hmm. And then we look. There's other things in there that have to be in a specific way. And if they're not, we go back and say, you know, it needs to be in there. We need it this way. Then the other major document, as we discussed, is the franchise agreement itself. Now, just like in many areas of the law, the franchise agreements, while they're typically legally enforceable, tend to be drafted in favor of the franchisor.
Sure.
Let me just give you a simple example that's in many of them that I have seen. And that is, the franchisor can sell or assign the franchise agreement. The franchisee can't without prior express permission from the franchisor. That's just an example in mm-hmm. there. And there's other things in there. And so the franchisee needs to be able to make an informed decision and understand what it is the contract they're getting into, because very often it's for 10 years or so. And it's not something you can just typically walk away from. There are restrictive non-compete covenants and other things in there. Walk away from and start competing with that same franchisor. Mm. So you want to be able to make an informed decision and say, I know what I'm getting myself into here before I make a major investment.
Right. And to your point, Henry, I mean, for our listeners, you know, we're referring to the FDD, the franchise disclosure document. And within that document, there is a separate exhibit, which is the actual franchise agreement, which is the legal contract. But the FDD is disclosed on 23 specific items. I think you're referring to the item 19, which gets into that pro forma. But some considerations, like you just mentioned, are how do you make sure you're building out that pro forma to make sure that it makes financial sense? So we got business sense, we've got financial sense, and you're saying, hey, let's also have some legal sense around it.
You need all those components in there. And unfortunately, our experience has been the franchisees come to us after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
often too late.
Now, we were able here in this past year, after the legacy Court of Appeals opinion, we were able to get a franchisee out of his franchise contract because there were disclosures that weren't made to him. And because of legacy, we went back to the franchisor and got virtually a complete refund. And this was a year and a half after the franchise agreement was signed. But it's better to do it on the front end.
Absolutely. Agreed. So just a little takeaway for anyone that's considering franchise ownership. One of the steps that you want to take before signing off and on that franchise agreement is to get some legal counsel prior to. And I want to just give the opportunity for you to share what is the name of your practice and how could someone get in touch with you if they needed some legal advice.
The practice is Turner Law Offices, LLC, and I'm the managing person there, the managing member. And my number is 404-261-7787. Again, 404-261-7787. You can go to our website, which is www.tloffices, as in Turner Law, tloffices.com. And you can always email me at hturner, as in Henry, hturner@tloffices.com.
Great. Great insight for anyone that's considering franchise ownership. There are different aspects that you got to look at things from. Business, financial, legal. So make sure you're tapping into the right resources to cover all the bases. Wonderful. Thank you so much,
ma'am.
Henry. Appreciate it. Let's go ahead. We're going to go to our last, but definitely not least, guest on the show. We have John Q.
I tell you, I think Henry knows what he's talking about, right?
You think?
Yeah. All right. And John, you're our anchor man here this morning, bringing us home. So pressure's on you, buddy. You ready for this?
I'll try not to bore you out of your skulls.
But it's such an exciting topic.
It is.
I'm telling you, well, I love the idea, the motto of John Q. CPA is the founder of and Corporate Financial Options. And you concentrate on practicing in the franchise industry.
That's right.
Right? And you're helping folks dedicate business owners and help them maintain their accounting records, but also understand the information. Because it's one thing to punch in all the numbers, right? But that's another thing to translate. Do you help people translate those numbers?
Well, yeah, we'd like to say that our job really begins when the financial statements are produced and out there. And understanding them, affecting and impacting the bottom line, I think, is where the value add lies.
Yeah, and to be able to kind of really leverage or take an opportunity, having someone like yourself as a counsel. And you create efficient systems for keeping those books?
Well, what we like to do is we like to go into the franchise level, create a system, and then have it filtered down as some sort of preferred vendor program to the franchisees.
All right, my line of questioning is done, Pam. It's he's all you.
Your witness.
Your witness.
My
exactly.
Witness. Wonderful. Well, John, I know you work with a lot of very successful franchisees, and you see a lot of numbers out there happening in the franchise industry. But I want to just take a step back. Can you kind of describe what is your full outsourced accounting system? Help us understand that.
Well, like I said, what we'd like to do is go in on the franchisor level, and then we can work with individual franchisees too, look at their operations and develop a system for them that gets them the information they need in an efficient manner. So we design, implement, and maintain accounting systems for franchise companies.
So we got the back-end operations we have to take into consideration too, along with the sales hat, the marketing hat, the daily business operations.
But whenever you're a small business owner, especially a franchisor, you can't afford 10 C-level executives all making six-figure salaries. Mm-hmm. And the traditional pyramid-shaped organizational chart really doesn't apply. It's more of a hub and spoke with the owner being in the middle and then maybe buying 10% of me, 10% of Lauren, 15% of other people, and then getting all the information you need in as efficient a manner as possible.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So I know you've mentioned like a preferred vendor program to help a franchisor. Can you give us an example of that or explain what do you mean by a preferred vendor program?
Well, that is where we design the system for the franchisor and it filters down to the franchisee. And we believe there are a lot of benefits to that. I think the biggest source of anxiety that a new business owner has or a new franchisee is, how is my accounting and bookkeeping going to get done? 99% of the people that go into the franchise business are probably have an operations or marketing background. Very few have an accounting background. Very few accountants leave their job as a controller and start their own business. I guess it happens. So that's what we want to do. We want to be able to not have a situation where we're forced on people, but it's a value add to the franchise proposition. You know, what do you add? You add a good product, you add good service, good delivery system, good this, good that. Now we have your biggest source of anxiety is perhaps solved by just outsourcing to us. You know, it helps the franchisor in a lot of ways. First of all, it makes sure their royalties and their creative funds are paid and paid timely and paid accurately. And it also ensures that sales tax and payroll taxes and income taxes are paid, because we all know that one rotten apple franchisee can taint the entire reputation of the franchisor. You know, they don't say that, you know, Joe Blow that owns XYZ franchise messed up. They'll say this company, ABC franchise, messed up.
Understand
and
what you're saying.
And that trickles down and adversely affects everybody.
Yeah, absolutely, because you're operating underneath one brand.
That is correct.
And so it can be the power of it. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the challenges faced by business owners out there today that you think, you know, you'll be able to come in, help solve, and give a little bit of, just alleviate some of that pain?
Well, and a lot of things. I think providing a professional appearance and a professionalism when you go to see somebody like Thomas, I think is very important. You know, a lot of people are intimidated about going to banks and talking to bankers, but we feel like we know what banks want to see and in the format that they want to see things in. You know, I tell people, and you're talking about guarantees. You know, what I tell somebody, I say, well, why do they want me to guarantee? I said, well, why do you want the bank and the taxpayers to bet on you when you're not willing to bet on yourself?
Mm-hmm.
And when you put it in those terms, I think it helps them understand a little bit. It doesn't make them happier about it, but it certainly creates a better way of understanding what that guarantee means.
Yep, absolutely. So what motivated you to actually create this system?
It evolved. you know, just from people coming in, it's just a case of meeting the demand out in the marketplace, because I know that's where a lot of entrepreneurs are headed and what they want to do and how they want to do it. And I think we solve a good deal of their problems.
Mm. Well, I will share. I mean, I'm almost seeing where you're helping a lot on three levels. You've got the individual that is still trying to guide and figure things out and mm-hmm. maybe able to give a little guidance on the front end. But you also are really targeting the franchisor to say, let's put an entire system in place that is going to help you as the franchisor, and it's also going to help the franchisee streamline those back end operations and accounting systems.
That's exactly true. Mm-hmm. And you know, we like I said, we feel like this is a very, very strong value add to a franchise proposition.
So what's the best way to reach you, John Q?
You know, there are a lot of ways to reach me. Probably the easiest way is, you know, my office is on Powers Ferry. My office number is 770-395-0223. My email address is johnq@johnqcpa.com. I don't know if you can get much easier than that.
That's true.
You know, my cell phone is 770-652-7000. If anybody has any questions directly that they want to call me on, and got that with me 23 hours a day.
And your social security number?
Yeah, that's unlisted.
Wonderful.
But I did tell my dad that he's so old, his social security number only has 5 digits. Yeah, he didn't really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. A lot of great advice there. And I just want to say thanks to everyone. There's just been, I mean, such detailed information for all of our listeners to really think about. In closing, I want to remind our listeners how they can reach you. So I just want to go around. And Lauren, it seems like it was a while back. But again, just real quickly, just give us your contact information.
Sure. Please call my office. And that number is 404-991-6642, and it's lauren@origindevgroup.com.
Wonderful. Thomas.
Office line is 678-985-6860, and you can reach me via my email at trockwood, R-O-C-K-W-O-O-D, at thebrandbank.com.
Thank you. Henry.
The phone number is 404-261-7787. And my email is hturner, as in Henry Turner, hturner@tloffices, all one word, tloffices.com.
Great. And John Q.
Well, again, my office number is 770-395-0223, johnq@johnqcpa.com.
Super. And you know what? I just want to say thanks to everyone. Anything else you'd like to add, Rich, or any thoughts or questions?
Yeah, absolutely. So, John, if you went public, then you'd be called what? John Q. Public?
Probably.
But I'm changed.
Yes, sir. We do need some sound effects in here. Yeah, we'll work on that next time. Yeah. So, yeah, great show, Pam. I mean, just again, as franchisors, franchisees, just a wealth of information and resources they can reach out to right here in the community as well as beyond. And maybe just let's wrap up in a couple of minutes about yourself and your services and about the show. And again, you're listening to Franchise Business Radio. You can just go to franchisebusinessradio.com and find all of the Twitter handles and social media links and all that good stuff. And a little bit about yourself is you focus on two key elements in the franchise world, right? One on the franchise as a franchise advisor and recruiting prospective franchisees, which is really cool, kind of a franchise consultant. So if I'm listening and I'm not in the business and I'm thinking about it, you'll meet with someone and kind of help them navigate all the waters. And I mean, describe in your own words, but if someone's looking to get into the franchise, you'll evaluate what is a good fit for them based on?
Yeah, actually, no, you're doing a great job describing it. In simplest terms, I am what I call business matchmaker. The franchisor is leaning on me to bring them qualified prospective franchisees, and individuals are leaning on me to help them find a franchise that really meets the criteria of what they're looking for in a business. But above and beyond that, I am what I call an orchestrator. So connector, orchestrator. So you're hearing a lot of different resources out here that an individual would need before signing off on that franchise agreement. And I can help guide them and point them to those resources and navigate those waters.
And this is just a thumbnail sketch of your network. Again, somebody considering, why go just to the internet or just start reading in a book about it, right? They can meet with you. Is there a fee to sit down and have that conversation? Or?
Great question. Believe it or not, my services are complimentary to the individual. And naturally, I am compensated.
Sure.
But who I'm compensated by is the franchisor once the placement has been made.
Which is perfect, because if I own a franchise, you're basically doing the vetting process for me.
That's exactly right.
So you're kind of delivering a prospect that has waded through maybe several hundred opportunities and said, this is the one that I'm most interested in. Let me talk to these folks.
Yeah.
Rather than these people kind of doing that whole screening process on their own.
Right. Got to have a rudder.
Nice. So talk to us about maybe some events coming up or some other announcements.
Real quick, for those of you that are listening, if you have some time this evening, we are co-hosting an event at Hammocks in Sandy Springs, Hammocks Restaurant. It is a business professional networking event. You do not need to pre-register. Just show up. Great restaurant. Opportunity to meet with other business professionals across all industries. It starts at 5:30. 5:30 to 7:30.
Yeah, because that's like north up on Roswell Road. I've been there a couple of times. It's great food, great venue, free networking. It's a great. I may swing by this evening as well.
Come on by.
All right. So once again, you're listening to Franchise Business Radio, and we'll see you next time on the show.
Thank you.
Absolutely.